I watched Glee last week and got ridiculed for it.
Saw the tweets.
Yeah.
You give it a shot.
I tried to watch Glee too. It just didn't stick to me. No. I wanted to like it.
I did too, but nobody was likable. That's what I found. I hated everybody.
Did you watch a whole episode, or did you just kind of make it through some?
No, I watched a whole episode.
Did you?
Yeah. I didn't like anybody, and I didn't like to hate anybody like I do on, like, Real World Road Rules Challenge or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Where you like to hate somebody, or like Kobe, I like to hate him.
Really?
But all those people on Glee were just like, eh. Nah. Nah. So, it did not take. But apparently it's a great show that everybody should watch, except me.
I've passed it.
You what?
Flipping channels.
Oh, you've passed it.
And somebody sent me the link to, there was an episode where the football team, I think they were playing some sort of football game, and the team did like the dance to the Single Ladies, like during the game. And that's about all I've seen.
Yeah. See?
I have no room for more TV.
No, down with Glee. So what else is going on?
Brothers in 3Z does not endorse a Glee.
No.
Watching
we're,
Glee.
We're Glee free.
This show is 100% Glee free. Mm-hmm. Well, unless they make it in the outtakes, and then we're not so Glee free.
Right.
We're not Gleeks.
All the Single Ladies. All the Single Ladies. All the Single Ladies. All the Single Ladies. I now have that song in my head.
Sorry.
It's okay. Okay. Anything
else? So 201?
201.
It's all downhill from here.
Looking forward.
Well, Adam, your sunny disposition always makes me smile.
Oh.
Super sunny today. All right, episode 201. 5, 4, 3.
Welcome to the Brothers in 3Z, the Sports Bar Talk podcast. Sports talk like you and your buddies talk. Eating wings, having beer, and a sports bar. Email the Brothers in 3Z at brothersin3z@yahoo.com. Visit their site at brothersin3-z.com. Now put on your iPod, pull up a virtual bar stool, because you're now sitting with Adam, Trent, and Ryan, the Brothers in 3Z.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome once again to an episode of Brothers in 3Z, your sports bar talk podcast, now 99.9% glee-free. I am your host, Trent. I'm here with my brothers, Ryan and Adam. We're going to talk sports a little bit, just as you would at your local tavern or saloon, as you were. And we're going to... probably. I'd like the swinging doors. Yeah. Speaking of saloons and duels, hey, how about that? Mm-hmm. Oh, we have the playoffs going on in hockey. Pens.
I like how you said that with a little Canadian accent.
Yeah. We have the playoffs going on in hockey, and talking Pens and Canadians, and Flyers and Bruins, and you know San Jose and Detroit and all this stuff. And what I'm finding this year, and you know, I always try to watch hockey playoffs, but it seems like in the past, when I watch, if a better NBA game's on or something like that, maybe I'll flip and watch the NBA game. But I'm watching a lot more of non-Penguins series, I'm finding. I was interested in the Capitals series. I'm now interested in the Flyers-Bruins series a lot, that San Jose-Detroit series. I mean, I'm watching a lot more hockey, and I think the numbers are bearing that out, too.
You mean your numbers?
Your personal numbers?
Yeah. My personal. I'm putting it out of 5.
He's logging more time this year on the ice.
Yeah.
Do you think this is an uptick, not only in you, but maybe across the board? From Olympics, do you think that they're getting a little burst?
I mean, it's hard to say they're not getting anything from the Olympics. I would think that they're getting some because the Olympics were very good, and then I think they're keeping people because the games have been
matchups.
Good. Yes, because these are, if I remember what I read correctly, this is, you know, the best that they've done since the, you know, work stoppage, and they're getting these numbers on versus, you know, so they're equaling what they did or coming close to what they did on ESPN2.
Are they? Because I still have a tough time finding it.
603.
No, I mean like a game when it's on. I don't make appointment viewing to go like check out channel 603 to watch the Blackhawks and whoever if the Penguins aren't playing. But that's just me.
Yeah, it is because I do. I now, like, when I get home, around rotation. 6 o'clock. I'll go to 603, and see what game's on that evening. That'll be at 7:30 or 7 to 7:30. What's on after that, if there's anything? So yeah, it's in my rotation now.
Yeah, it has been in mine too. It was hard to. I mean, I didn't want to sit there and watch all the first round series, especially the Western Conference, because, you know, I'm not as familiar with some of those teams. You know, I think I watched the Sharks and the Avalanche just because the Sharks are, you know, prone to being upset. But I was very interested in the Cap series and watched, you know, a lot of that series, and obviously the Penguins. And now when you have, you know, obviously some fewer games, and, you know, the NHL does a good job of keeping it in the forefront of your mind. I mean, you know, when the NBA can play here, the Cavs and the Celtics are playing, you know, every other day, but then, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't play again until
for four
days the
weekend.
Yeah. Today's Monday or Tuesday, you know, Monday. So I wouldn't be surprised if they don't play another game till Friday, you know, or Saturday or something like that. And the other thing about the NBA is that the other series hasn't started yet. They went ahead and started the second round with the Cavs and the Celtics, and they didn't even know until that afternoon who was the winner to play the Magic. I mean,
yeah,
you know, at some point somebody's going to get a nice long rest, and I've found it very interesting. And I actually found the first round, if you compared the first round of the playoff hockey to the first round of the NBA, I found that the first round of playoff hockey was much more exciting.
Yeah. It seems like every game has so much on it, because it seems like every game matters a little bit more in the NBA than it does in the NBA, because you have upsets in hockey. You don't, I mean, you know, when you have the Montreal Canadiens beating Washington, that's pretty big upset.
Yeah. And there's always hot upsets in hockey. I thought that was probably a little bigger than normal just because of Washington's regular season. You know, I mean, they were the number one seed, but they were the number one seed and probably, I think, a lot of people felt like the best team, you know, in all of hockey. And I think that's what, you know, they had, what, three or four guys that scored over 20 goals, you know, this season. I mean, they were dominant in a lot of ways. And, you know, so it seemed like it was a little bigger upset than maybe a normal. But, yeah, it's no surprise in the Eastern Conference you've got the four, six, seven, and eight teams left. You know, in that half of the bracket, and nobody's surprised, you know, with teams 1, 2, 3, and 5 losing. So,
yeah, it seems like for as much as Bettman has done poorly, or the decisions that were just, he was killed on, you know, whenever he does certain things, you know, it's sustaining and growing, either in spite of him or because of him. And I don't know if there's many people who want to give him credit for anything. Because, I mean, even here on this very show, we were like, where's the hockey? Where's versus? We don't know. Why'd you sign that? That's stupid. And now, you know, if the product's good, people will show up.
Well, there was a while that versus wasn't on DirecTV, right?
Yeah.
But then they got that resolved.
Yes.
Apparently, because I'd never heard that announcement. So when I was trying to go to the Penguins and it was blacked out on Fox Sports Pittsburgh, and on my little scorecard it said watch versus, I just went ahead and gave it a shot, and it was on. I was like, oh, great. Maybe they just let us have it because it's the Penguins. But so I didn't know that. I think in hockey, the games stand alone much more than in the NBA, where, you know, every hockey game seems to start new without any bearing on the previous game.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that's why you see these 3-1, you know, overcoming those 3-1 deficits with much more regularity, even though obviously the 8-1 thing was a big deal. But this, not to go too far afield here, but the way the Canadiens got back into that series or whatever, it reminded me a little bit of soccer, because they completely played in a defensive shell, tried to just
get a lead and then
hold on. And you know, it's funny because people criticize soccer, you know, and some, you know, for playing very defensively and not open and going for it, but you can win that way. Mm-hmm. You know, so it might not be exciting, might not be the best thing for the sport, because I think what would be best for the sport would be the Caps to go through winning 6-3, you know, scoring lots of goals, playing a lot of exciting. But when it comes down to it, the playoffs and it comes down to, you know, blocking 50 shots with your ankle and your back, you know. I mean, they just laid down on the pucks.
Uh-huh.
You know, so they, you know, they were, everybody was talking about Halak, and yeah, I'm sure he was great, but they laid down on a bunch of shots to just block him before they ever got to that dude.
Yeah. Yeah, there was one game where they were talking about the stats and how many were, and they had mentioned, you know, Halak had, you know, I don't know, he had 40 some saves that one game, or maybe even 50 saves, and those were the shots that just got to him. And they said when they counted up all the shots even taken that were off of players in front of him or whatever, I mean, it was almost 100 shots,
yeah,
you know, that the Caps had taken.
And to what Adam was saying about how each game is its own entity, I mean, I have a mentality that you guys probably do with playoffs and how each game kind of affects the other. When the Caps came back in game two of that series from, you know, they were losing 3-1 or something and came back and won that game, and then, you know, crushed them the next game to go up on, in the series 3-1 over the Canadiens, I thought it was over. You know, I thought that was the turning point, that the Canadiens had them, they had them locked down, and then they let them back in, and then, you know, the Caps were just going to step on their throats, and they didn't. You know, like Adam said, each game is a, you know, a body in and of itself, so the Canadiens were able to do that.
It just feels weird saying Canadians.
It does.
Yeah,
so. Canadians.
Say Habs.
Habs.
Okay, whatever.
Well, go ahead, Adam.
No, I don't. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and with hockey, I think especially a lot of it is matchups. You saw how the New Jersey Devils couldn't probably got a worse matchup than the Flyers. You know, New Jersey plays a very defensive game. They always have, you know, and they just couldn't play that game against Philadelphia, and it was just a matchup problem, and the Flyers took care of them pretty quickly. And, you know, I think the same thing with the Sabres and the Bruins. The Bruins was a little more physical, bigger players, obviously. And then, you know, so I think a lot of times it's matchups too. I mean, you know, how well you match up with an opponent. So.
Sure.
Now, here's a question I will pose. Does the NHL now need, you know, with Ovechkin out, does the NHL now need the Penguins to continue forward, you know, to kind of continue this momentum? I mean, if you end up with you've got Boston and Philadelphia, so I guess those are still, you know, but if you do, and Montreal's, you know, obviously would be a big draw in Canada. So,
yeah, but I see
but there's really no stars, you know what I'm saying?
So if you end up with San Jose, Philadelphia, you know, Stanley Cup final, is that, yeah, I understand.
I don't think it matters, because I still think that – I mean, we're all kind of looking at it through our own prism, because I still don't think that hockey's exposure – I think it's probably doing all right, but I don't think it's, you know, growing by leaps and bounds. So I don't think it matters who's on the national stage when it comes down to it. I think the people that like hockey are going to watch it. I mean, if it's not the Penguins, I'm not going to – I really don't care. And I like, you know, watching the playoff hockey. I like the tension, but I only like it when the Penguins are in it.
Yeah, I mean,
or there's some other compelling story, you know, and I don't know any of the other compelling stories. If they would happen to kind of bubble to the surface, maybe I would change my mind. But, you know, the finals, some of the games are on NBC and some are on Versus. Is that right? That's what it was last year.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know. I just don't see it changing much, you know, that them needing a star or whatever for their, for them. I think they,
I think the other way. I think, you know, Crosby is their biggest star, and the second place is Ovechkin, and people tune in to see them. And you know, I don't think there are hordes of people tuning in just to see Crosby. You know, I don't think it's like anywhere close to LeBron or Dwayne Wade or Kevin Durant or anybody like that. But I think that having Crosby in there helps because he's a name that people know, and he's the carryover, the big carryover from the Olympics.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, if people are coming in and they're watching him because of the Olympics and stuff, I think that having him in for as long as you can is going to benefit the NHL.
I think the best case scenario, and you know, I don't think Detroit is just sort of struggling at this end, but best case scenario would be another Detroit Pittsburgh final.
Yeah.
You know, it's become, you know, with two years in a row, Detroit winning one, the Pens winning one, and then I think people on a national level are probably a little more familiar with, you know, if they see Detroit and Pittsburgh playing for the Stanley Cup, I think they're like, oh, okay, you know, maybe I'll, you know, this has happened before, you know, went 7 last year, you know, and maybe bring in some people. Worst case scenario would probably be anything but that.
Well, I think the Blackhawks would also be a decent draw too.
Yeah. And if you get one of those original, you know, if you get Chicago and, you know, Boston or Chicago and Philly or, you know, maybe even Chicago and the Montreal and the Penguins, I think any of those might probably, and Detroit with any of those either would also probably be fine.
Yeah. Do you guys remember? I don't know. I just thought about this. Did we have a little plastic rink that you drew a little Philadelphia Flyers peon, Ryan? Do you remember that?
Peon. I remember that.
Do you? What was that thing?
How did we play?
I just remember it being drawn.
Me too. And I can't remember what kind of board it was on.
It's probably about the only logo I could draw. Yeah, it's real easy. It was a P.
Yeah.
I know. You were 15.
And it's probably in mom's garage somewhere.
Yeah, well, not anymore.
Not anymore.
That's true. All right, let's move on to NBA. And as the previous topic might imply, I haven't paid a lot of attention to the NBA playoffs. I don't know if you guys have either, but LeBron apparently picked up his second MVP award in a row. This year, and he picked it up. I guess he had a thing in Akron. I was reading about him. I was just skimming over it, and
at the University of Akron.
Was it at the university?
Yes.
Okay. Well, the thing that I hate about the media right now is that they are tending to overanalyze every phrase, every word choice, and just put it under a microscope and say, "Oh, that means he's staying." That means he's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
He said he wants to bring. He wants to be here for a long time. Or he loves Akron. Oh, that means he's staying.
But he's wearing a Yankee hat. That means he's going.
Right.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I'm not quite as annoyed with it as you are, because I don't think. Well, I mean, I guess you directed it yours towards the media. Most people would probably take it out on LeBron. So I'm not saying that you did, but. Yeah, it's not his fault.
No.
But I kind of like, though, the fact that he had, you know, the year before he'd gone to his high school, and this year he went to the university because it was just a bigger place to hold it. I kind of liked that he was doing that there. And, I mean, I don't know if he was stroking his own ego, like, we need more people here to celebrate me. It didn't, you know, it didn't come off that way. So
it didn't seem that way.
But it just seemed like he was kind of, you know, trying to share it in his hometown. So I don't know. I don't know much. I don't know much about whether he's going to stay or going to go. It just comes down to like.
Do you care?
You know what? I think I'd like to see him stay in Cleveland just because I think everybody likes to, you know, the one team thing. But you know what, though? If he went to New York, I would probably, like, watch his first game or something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I'd be interested to see how he does in a place like that. But the thing that it gets me is that, like, Cleveland can pay him the most money.
Right.
And so if he wants to go, he's going to have to, like, take a pay cut because nobody's going to do a sign and trade for LeBron because you can't get – you can never get, you know, enough back.
Right.
He can get, what, like 36 million more or something in Cleveland? Something like that.
Yeah,
if he maxes out, he could take a shorter deal, and we could be doing this again in 3 years. But whatever. Everybody always says it's not about the money, and then they go to the place that offered him the most money. And so, you know, if he were to happen, say, it's not about the money, and then, like, leave for New York, it would actually not be about the money.
Yeah, it seems like there's three scenarios, you know, and two of them are good for Cleveland. Either he wants to stay in Cleveland, you know, he's kind of indifferent about it, and he's just going to go wherever the most money is, which means Cleveland would probably get him. Or he wants to get, I need to get the hell out of here. You know, that's the third option. So, I mean, it's only, you know, assuming that Cleveland's going to offer him everything they can.
I think that's a fair assumption.
Yeah. I mean, he would have to actually desire to leave Cleveland to get to do it.
Yes. And I mean, I think Cleveland's like, I mean, every move that they've made for the last 2 years has been to try to, like, make him happy.
Yeah.
Oh, you want Antoine Jameson? Okay, you've got Antoine Jameson. That's fine. Mm-hmm. You want rid of, you know, so-and-so? He's gone. We don't have to look at him anymore.
You want Shaquille O'Neal? We got him.
Yeah.
We right. brought you a bowl of just red M&Ms.
So, I mean, nice. Yeah. So, I mean, it's been – they've seemed to have acted, whether those moves have worked out or, you know, been good, smart moves, but they seem to have been acting in his – with him in mind or to try and make him happy or to try and put the right pieces around him. And so – you know, you take that out of play. You know what I mean? Like, I look at Dwayne Wade, I kind of feel – I don't know if I feel sorry for him, but, I mean, he's got, like, poop in a bag.
Yeah.
See, if I was – poop in a bag.
I think we've talked about this at one point, but I read an article where somebody said, you know, if LeBron truly wants to win championships, be better, and, you know, obviously he makes enough money with all the endorsements that his basketball money doesn't – you know, I mean, it matters, but it's not like the end all be all. You know, it's more of his endorsement deals. And that if he wants to win championships, his best option is to stay in Cleveland and actually not max out, leave cap room, and then try to go get like Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, you know, try to get one of those two guys to come to Cleveland.
You know, I've thought about that, but then wouldn't it be almost too easy? If like Dwayne Wade and or Chris Bosh and LeBron were like on the same team, like, I mean, I think that would be neat to like try and chase like history or whatever, like 72 wins because we're just so good. But I can't, and I never understood why like people just didn't give it a shot one time. When you talk about people that have more money, so much more money than they'll ever be able to use. I mean, he could give that money for five generations. Mm-hmm. So how about just like a couple years, just try to dominate the sport in an all-star cast that had never been seen before?
Well, yeah. It seems like New York is trying to do that. I mean, they've tried to free up so much cap room that they could buy 20 players and create an all-star team. You know, they're still trying to clean up from the Isaiah Thomas fiasco. But, you know, they've cleared enough cap room to get two of those guys, whether it's Wade and Bosch together or LeBron and Bosch or LeBron and Wade. You know, there looks like they're going to try to do that, but I'm not sure that it's going to happen in New York. You know, I think that there are other places that these people want to be, and New York might be left holding an empty bag, which would be kind of funny for me. I would enjoy that, actually.
Well, there's a lot of teams that have – you know, been trying to.
Oh yeah, a ton of them.
And there's only so many players.
Right.
So you know, if you're a team that's been dumping salary for the last 2 years to try and get like you know a marquee name, and then you don't, and you're still dumpy for the next 2 years, I mean you're in bad shape. And I mean, there's only so many players to go around. The best thing's going to be all these mid-level guys that are going to get huge deals because there's just money left.
Yeah, I mean it's like. It's like the music stops and somebody's going to be left not getting a chair.
You know? No, there's too many chairs.
That's true.
Here comes
too many chairs, not enough players.
Yeah, come to my chair.
I'm saying that the chairs are players, so there's not enough.
Oh, I was just thinking that there was actually people going to be trying to sit in the seats, like actually how you would use a chair.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on.
I don't know. It seemed to make
talking
sense.
About another you know a musical chair scenario, huh?
Oh, with the college football.
Yeah,
Yeah. Yeah, the Big Ten. There's apparently the Big Ten is now going to 25 teams. They're just going to suck up the entire East Coast and Midwest, and then the SEC will be the only other conference, and it'll be Big Ten and SEC champion every year. Not that it isn't already.
Okay, can I go here?
Sure.
Okay, a couple of things. Number one, it's going to be interesting to see what the new president of the NCAA does. And what his philosophy is and what his thoughts are and all this other stuff. And part two is even when these conferences get big, they end up playing in smaller divisions.
Exactly. I was going to say that too.
So it's like, why be so big? And the third thing is the 12-team rule is the dumbest rule, and they could save themselves all of this heartache and all this talk about expansion and killing other conferences if they just said, you can have a championship game with 11 teams.
Yeah.
Seriously, why, you know, like everybody keeps chasing this 12th team like
it's a golden ticket.
Golden ticket.
I was going to try to use some kind of scientific what's the atom floating when it's a like there's one atom that completes the other one? Inert gas or something like that. Whatever. I'm just too stupid to understand that. But just make it 11. Who's saying you got to have 12?
Yeah.
NCAA.
Pretty easy solution.
But, I mean, like, what? Somebody explain that to me.
Well, I don't know why when you – why would 12 – why would you then want to go to 16 or whatever? I mean, you know, if I'm a team that is BCS eligible and I'm in a conference that only has, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 teams – and I only have to split that money with 7 others or 8 others, why would I want to move to a conference with 16 and I've got to split it with 15 other teams?
Well, I'm guessing that part of these whole deals is a TV network and all this
stuff. Well, that's the Big Ten. Yeah.
But you know, if you have more teams, I'm guessing you have more opportunities for broadcasts and more money and all this other stuff. I'm guessing that you're not losing money on the deal. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. It's got to be because they are going to be guaranteed more money.
Yeah. I would say that yeah, because it's all about money there for the NCAA.
You know what my first move would be? I would go investigate Boston College's finances and see how well that's working for them. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Right.
I'm guessing that it's not a great deal for them because, like, if their baseball team is playing a conference game – every game they have to play is a flight.
Yeah, I think Boston College would rethink if given an opportunity.
Well, it depends. If they're making $4 million more dollars per year,
yeah,
then they're not going to.
It's totally worth it. Yeah.
Even though they might feel left out and not part of the conference, all this other stuff. If their income is $4 million to the plus, I mean, too bad. You know, get over it, coaches or whatever.
Yeah, I just don't see him. I don't know. I just can't see him competing in the ACC in either football or basketball at this point in time.
Well, much longer because they came in from the weak Big East and dominated the ACC for like 3 years.
Right.
And now that they have to compete and recruit against those schools, I'm not sure how that's going. But if the first, what, 2 or 3 ACC championship games were Virginia Tech and Boston College – and the Big East is such a bad football conference, and then they just send out, you know, they take one of our two of our – they weren't even the best teams in the league. Virginia Tech was maybe, but Boston College certainly wasn't. And they went and they just ran the table up there in the weak sister ACC.
Yeah. And it's, again, the team that will probably be, you know, left naked is the Big East because they're just easy pickings now. They're the low-hanging fruit. You know, they're the 8-team conference with a handful of decent teams that – they think they can pick off pretty easily. And I've heard, you know, almost every team mentioned except for USF and Louisville probably, you know, in some sort of expansion thing. They want to take Rutgers and Pitt and Syracuse, or they want to take Pitt's always involved, just Pitt or just, you know, and it's, I don't know. Rutgers seems like a big deal because they're in the New York market.
Yeah,
you know, because tons, hordes of people are tuning in for Rutgers games.
Yeah, they seem like a big deal for some reason.
Yeah,
until they're actually in your conference.
Boston market. Sorry, we couldn't quite get that figured out.
No, couldn't get that coordinated. Adam, go ahead and say it's the same thing.
It's the same thing when the ACC wanted Boston College to get into the Boston TV market. Like, how's that working out for you?
Yeah.
I mean, really. You know, the fact that people think they're going to get the New Jersey, New York television market through Rutgers, please.
Yeah.
That's real easy to just throw out there, not be able to follow through with it.
College sports is such a secondary entity in New York, you know, because they have the Giants, they have the Jets, they have the Knicks, they have, you know, the Nets, even if you want to go that far down, and you know, the Yankees and the Mets. I mean, there's college is just so far down that I don't think that market, in terms of viewing eyes on a football game, college football game, is worth it. I mean, yeah, it has the most people, but how many of those people actually watch?
Well, you know, they've talked about – people have complained about the Big East basketball being too big, you know, and this is essentially what would happen with a football conference. I mean, you know, if you think basketball is too much when you've got – when you already play 30 games in basketball, and the Big East has done a pretty good job of everybody at least playing each other once. Yeah. I mean, you'd never play each other in football in a conference that size. I mean, and like Adam said, it would happen – What happens is you get bigger, but then you end up getting smaller because now you've got two conferences, sub-conference in your conference that are eight teams apiece, and I don't know. It's just I don't know how it's going to all shake out. And like I said, the Big East is kind of sitting idle, just kind of waiting instead of kind of maybe being a little more proactive in what they can do. Although
Paul Tagliabue,
I don't know if anybody would make a move right now. You know, I think everybody's kind of waiting and seeing what's going to happen.
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't want to end up in a, I mean, I don't want to end up in a conference with ECU and Central Florida and, you know, South Florida. I mean, not that they're not decent teams or whatever, but it's just going to take a while to bring that Big East level back up when this hasn't fully recovered from ACC rating it from a few years ago.
You know, and if they're really serious about this, they should just start from scratch and just be like regional, what makes sense regionally.
Yeah.
And you would have, you know, Penn State in the Big East, and you'd have, you know, Notre Dame in the Big Ten, and you'd have Miami would probably still be in the ACC. That makes sense. You know, I get that. Boston College still be in the Big East. Louisville's some conference USA, some Midwestern conference or whatever. Because I think that's important to people. You know, playing Kentucky or you know, having some kind of relationship with Pitt and Penn State, it's important to people. It's good for everybody. But
yeah,
but it has nothing – conference affiliation has nothing to do with like – it used to be like, I think, institutions of similar location and academic, you know what I mean? They used to have some kind of like relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're just like hooking up at a, you know, like Ben Roethlisberger late at night.
Well, yeah, when you're talking about the Texas being in the Big Ten, I mean, I see it as the equivalent of Boston College being in the ACC.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what? Does that really make sense?
Yeah, I wish they would start from scratch because right now it's like one of those things you duct tape together and you keep putting duct tape on it and keep doing that until it's, you know, it's too much duct tape to fix properly. But I don't think, you know, of course that's not going to happen, never going to happen. But
no, you're right because like right now, like Louisville and all that stuff in the Big East, that's worked out okay. But then you start getting East Carolina and you'd be like, wait, come on now, really?
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't make sense.
No.
Well, it seems like the first conference, actually before the Big Ten does, is the Pac-10. You know, it looks like and I think that would be the easiest one to expand to, you know, if they're going to go to 12. I mean, you're looking at Utah, BYU, maybe Colorado if they want to go, you know, to the Pac-10. You know, I don't know. Boise State is – I don't know if they're a legitimate shot to make it into the Pac-10 or not. But probably Utah, BYU, you know, Colorado, those would be candidates for Pac-10 expansion. And I don't think that would really hurt anybody or bother anybody.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a big mess. And I just – you know, at some point I just went, just fucking do it already. You know, just get it done with it so I can move on with my life because – I mean, it's been looming for almost an entire year. you know, Big East or Big Ten talking expansion, and oh, great. And oh, they're not going to make a decision until what, the winter or something. Who cares? Just do it. Just do it.
Well, so quick, easiest way would be Notre Dame goes to the Big Ten and you leave it at 12, and then that's that.
Oh, thou shalt not suggest Notre Dame go to a conference for football. Sorry. Yeah.
Anyway. Well, yeah. But I mean, if I'm the Big Ten, that's the simple, quick move. And you say, listen, what do you make in football from NBC? And for the first 2 or 3 years, we're going to give you what you made with NBC football-wise, dollar-wise, you know, to join the Big Ten. You know, whatever you do, whatever it takes, you go after Notre Dame and you try to make it as lucrative as possible for them and bring them in and, you know.
I don't know. It doesn't seem like.
And try to solve all your problems that way. Because then all of a sudden your Big Ten network gets, you know, the Notre Dame football and, you know, everybody's happy.
I don't know. You could have the fattest calf and the hottest strippers and you're not enticing Notre Dame anywhere.
How do those things go together? You went from like ancient.
They're all Catholic.
Well, kill the like fatted calf.
I know, and then to a stripper.
Well,
like bartering in the 17th century.
Made a mistake. You should have said 12-year-old boys.
Ooh.
There you go.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and switch to a local flavor. Adam went to the West Virginia Blue Gold game, the spring game on Friday. And they moved it this year for people who don't know. They moved the game from Saturday to a Friday evening. And they had an old-timers game, which Adam was thoroughly enjoyed. He just couldn't stop raving about it, I'm sure he'll tell you. And then the game after that. So, Adam, what'd you see? What'd you like? What'd you hate?
I like it. Well, first of all, I was there for like a quarter, by the way. So.
Okay. No.
when they advertised that like the game starting at 7, it was the old-timers game at 7, and then the game after that. So let's kind of try to get that squared away for next year.
that's like when the concert says, oh, they start at 7 and then they have the open.
Gates open.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, let's – right. So I like it on Friday night. I don't know. Like, because, you know, there's hardly ever a Friday night football game in Morgantown. I don't think there's ever been one. I know they've played on Friday nights, but I think it's always been on the road. So that was kind of a neat thing. I think, I don't know, Saturdays in May can be awfully hot, or late April. They can be. So I kind of like sitting in the shade and having a nice evening. Old-timers game was terrible. the least they could have done was, like, give the guys jerseys so you could maybe identify them, or the public address announcer could identify them. The only guy that you could see was Major Harris, because he's
Major Harris.
Pudgy.
Yeah, both.
Okay.
I mean, there's only a few people that can waddle across the field and throw an interception across his body. That's only so many people.
Major Harris and Brett Favre.
Jeez.
Nice. So, other than that, like, you would recognize a name maybe. It was clear that the PA announcer knew, like, four guys that were at the game and could spot them. But other than that, you had no idea who was throwing, who was catching. The action just went on. There's, like, no narrative. So it was thoroughly lame.
That was the first time they tried it, too.
I like the idea of, well, okay, then these are my suggestions for next year. Give the guys numbers and so we can identify them. You know, I think the concept's okay. Now, me, of course, I'd say old-timers game starts at 6:30, game starts at 7, or 7 and 7:30, whatever. But to say
yes, you don't have a stadium packed full of people.
Well, I think you can do it while people are filing in. I think you can play that game while people are coming in and say, oh, yeah, hey, look, there's, you know.
Kind of like the band.
Yeah, exactly. And so it was just no good. In the first quarter, you know, they tried to do this. It's not even a scrimmage anymore, and that's okay because, you know, I get it. They don't want to draft teams and have it watered down, all that stuff, and they're basically down to one quarterback, so they can't really do a whole lot anyway. So I get it. But, like, you know, the one team would drive down, and then throw an interception, and then – they'd go back to the 30-yard line and start again.
Yeah.
And then they'd try to keep score, like 38 to nothing.
Yeah,
like,
those things never work out.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. So, you know, it's hard to call it like a blue-gold game or whatever. I guess they have to make some money at the gate or whatever, but it just it's just not very.
It's just an open practice, basically.
Yeah, and then, you know, the fact that you go, you sometimes want to preview the new team. The quarterback that's quarterback is not going to be the quarterback next year. Every time Noel Devine touches the ball, you just hold your breath that he doesn't hurt something.
Right.
You know what I mean? You've got a lot of the same guys that you know what you're going to get, so there's not a lot that you're, like, seeing the new team or whatever, so I don't know.
Well, it was the highest attended game.
Was it?
I think so. I think I read that. That
21,000
people. Like, I think it was the most well-attended game, spring game. Yeah. I mean, the last one I went to was a couple years ago, and it was, again, on Saturday, and it, like you said, it was very hot.
How did it look? How did the stadium look? Was it, I mean, did it look puny, like there weren't very many people there?
Well, they put everybody on one side.
Right.
So they put everybody on the press box side.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
So I had no – I would have not –
So it probably did look empty. Because you're looking at empty stands across the way.
Right.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I knew the lower part was pretty much filled, but they would have had to have then, because they had closed off the upper section for a while, and I guess at some point they must have opened it. But, you know, when you're walking in and that's closed, you just sit down there, and then I never really assumed that people were going up there and sitting because you couldn't, like, hear them or anything, and I never really thought to look. So.
There you go.
Students?
That's my recap. Any?
See any?
They're all studying.
I saw a few, but there was no like concentrated area of them. Unless they all stumbled in after having a fifth of bourbon each.
Was there anybody that on either side that stood out and was like, oh, you know, that you didn't know, that seemed to be making a little bit of an impact?
No, I stayed for a quarter, and for the most part, I was trying to hand Twizzlers to Drew. So
that's true. That's true. All right. Anything else?
Not for me.
All right. Well, I guess that will wrap up episode 201, the first episode of The Rest of Your Life. Go ahead and put that in the books. Ryan, why don't you tell the people how to get in touch with us?
You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/brothersin3z. Like us now. They've changed the whole Facebook thing around, so you don't have to become a fan anymore. You can just like us at facebook.com/brothersin3z. And if you'd like to email us at brothersin3z@yahoo.com.
And don't forget
the like thing about.
I have no idea.
Why'd they change it?
I don't know.
From what I read.
Like a lot of the things that Facebook does, they basically do it and then they don't tell anybody that they've done it until it's already, you know, in place.
Well, I visited a page and it said something to the effect of, so it doesn't feel like it's as big of a like commitment or something. Like it's a like button instead of if you become a fan, then it's you're more invested in it. If you just like it, I like it. It's fine. But a fan means that you're.
Well, that's how I was trying to advertise it.
Well, I think that's what the difference is. And I saw that little description when I first went back to our page to like us. I think they should add a like button. We don't like it. We like it.
I hate the.
I'm not that in like with you.
I hate the protests. 1,000 people to bring back our fan page button. You know, that end up spawning off of on Facebook by what Facebook does. Like, look, if you don't like it or become a fan of it, you get off Facebook then.
You think the best way to protest that would
be back.
You think the best way to protest the removal of the fan button would be to not like it.
Right.
I don't know. Anyway.
Sorry.
That's like it.
That's all right. We're going to go ahead and just wrap this up for Ryan and Adam. This is Trent saying, remember, the next one is on us. Is Adam in the shower?
Why?
I don't know. I hear a lot of background noise.
No.
Just watching Dancing with the Stars.
Ooh. Who do you like?
On DVR.
On DVR? Ryan.
No, no, no. I said Adam was watching Dancing with the Stars.
Oh. Adam.
Actually, I'm not. Fucking dick licker.
Ooh. That's a little overreaction. But you do watch Dancing with the Stars.
Actually, it hasn't caught on.
No. Did not take a whole.
I watched a little bit of it tonight, but I don't care about any of them.
Yeah.
I thought it would fill my American Idol void, but...
No way.
You know what? I've actually jumped back on the Survivor train.
Really? Oh, jeez. It's a blast from the past.
Yeah, I know. I didn't think I would, but it's good.
It's funny. Everybody's doing these celebrity things like Celebrity Apprentice and Dancing with the Stars and whatever. And apparently that's That's what gets ratings, but I'm not interested in celebrity anything.
Well, celebrity it's not Celebrity Survivor.
Well, but they're rehashes. All-star. It's an all-star.
I'd like to see a Celebrity Survivor. That'd be cool.
They tried that with I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
I guess. It wasn't as well executed.
No.
There's no Jeff Probst.
No. And the term celebrity was applied very loosely, I think, to that one.
Real loosely. I think Adam was asked to be on that show.
If you had your name in the paper at any point in time, you could be on.
You qualify.
Yep. Oh, by the by, Adam, check at some point. You may want to check your Stars and Encore. Let's see if you have them, because I have them. And
for
I got
a limited time only?
They said, for being a good customer, I get them for 3 months.
Did you get this at the beginning of your deal, though?
No. Well, I don't know what I got some free channels at the beginning.
Maybe because you just upgraded to the HD?
Maybe. And recorded a few. I got to see The Jerk unedited last night, which was great.
It's probably been a while.
It has been a while.
Meant to be shown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I watched a little portion of My Cousin Vinny the other day, and I didn't realize how much filthy language was in there. It was fuck this and fuck that, and you're fucking doing this.
That was a.
And you knew she won an Academy Award for that. Yeah.
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 Marissa Tomei.
Which is kind of inexplicable, but.
I might have been a down year for film that year.
I would say so.
Maybe you looked at what she was up against. She does a good accent.
Yeah. I guess so. But it wasn't like she was even so prominent. Like, I don't know, she wasn't a Sandra Bullock who made a bunch of movies and had a decent performance and was like, oh, well, she's had X amount of years doing movies, and she's really never received anything for, so let's throw her a bone type thing. She was still fairly early in her career, and then she fell off. I don't know what happened to her.
I don't know.
So if you're...
She's done a lot of little independent films.
Yeah. So if you've seen Marissa Tomei, please email us at brothersin3z@yahoo.com. Busted my rhythm.
Sorry. You're probably going to say something about email.
Oh, I think I forgot a regular website. Brothers in 3Z.
How's that doing?
.com. What do you mean?
I thought it was .biz.
No.
I'm just kidding.
No.
It was just a long weekend.
Yeah, with the game Friday, and then the banquet Saturday, and the Rendon Sunday.
Yeah, I had a T-ball game. Well, I didn't have a T-ball game. I went to a T-ball game. I would have dominated that had I played.
out of my way. I'm feeling home this run! One. Home run!
Back off. I've got it. And then I was up at 5:15 to get ready for the race.
Now, tell me about the bomb fiasco and everything. Were you aware of this?
Never knew about it until...
Till later.
Yeah,
it was too late.
Kelly and I had we had the first two legs, and so we were done early. But it was raining so bad.
Oh yeah.
So I actually had to walk back to the start, and I looked for a minute, and then I just went to the car to meet her, and so that's where we hung out for a little bit until the other person that drove us came, which wasn't until about 11:30, and then she told us about it. We're like, what? I had no idea. So, but the crazy part, well, not crazy because I guess a lot of people use it, but like we met the other people in a relay at that Greyhound station that they were talking about. But haven't heard anything more about it other than that.
No.
I don't think it ended up being – I mean they felt confident that it was suspicious, but I don't think it had any kind of
– It was a microwave or something, right? Adam, are you – what are you doing?
Laying down. Why?
Oh, because you're breathing very hard.
The microwave was just like on the ground outside, I think.
Yeah.
But anyway, like unplugged and just thrown on the ground. But we were watching the news last night to try and find out a little bit more about it, and they showed this older woman that kind of looked unathletic. Yes, thanks. And she said they had a bomb scare. I get it, but they could have done more to communicate. Blah 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 blah. Like this lady was running a, you know, was going to set the world record, and then all of a sudden she got derailed by the bomb scare. Like, nobody knew what to do. I mean, and if they probably did the best they could. So lay off. And I mean, come on now.
All right, kids.
Okay.
Yeah, have a good – Ryan, are you still with
me? Yeah, I'm still
– What are you getting
I've got a breeze blowing through my hair right now. I can't
– No.
Me breathing?
Just kidding.
No. All right. Big gulps.
Yep.
Suck on it and like it.